Well, my father was not a guy that I would call a hard man, but he did know the value of a dollar, which is why when it came to my allowance, he gave me exactly half of one, 50 cents, for a week's worth of work. That's if I finished all my work for the week, which in those days meant splitting wood after school, and then anything that needed to be done on the weekends, which could be anything from bringing in the oat crop to helping him trim trees to doing my least favorite solo job, which was chopping down the waist-high weeds that lined this quarter-mile, sun-scorched, dusty driveway. It was a really hard job for an 11-year-old, just out there wrangling this heavy lawnmower and trying to push it through these weeds, and it's throwing rocks everywhere and sticks and dust is being thrown up. It was awful. But listen, as much as my dad knew the value of my work, which I remind you is 50 cents a week, I knew the value of the newest Beatles album, which at the time was Revolver. It was $2.35 at Unimart. 5 weeks worth of labor. And listen, I would have given 10 weeks. I might have given 20 weeks. That's how valuable that Beatles album was to me in those days. Now, the value that we place on things changes over time, of course. Within a short time, about 10 years, I'd be giving that album away before one of my many moves as other things became more valuable to me. But the point of it is, we will in this life, we will give most anything for that which is of most value to us. And that changes over time. But as Jesus never fails to point out to us, there really is but one thing that is of unchanging and paramount and eternal value. And that's what he speaks about today in this parable from Matthew 13. Now, we've been looking these past few weeks at these parables of Jesus, these tales from the kingdom trail. They were little stories that illustrated principles of what Jesus called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, which again was not only a place that's far, far away or out in the future, but a place that is near, near right here. It encompasses the way that we see ourselves and that we see others and the way we approach life from God's point of view, seeing things from God's point of view, and then doing our best to receive God's best by doing his will. Well, Jesus would come up with these little stories, these illustrations of these principles of the kingdom of God. And those people who were kind of resistant to God or Jesus, who were kind of, you know, sort of hard-hearted towards Jesus, they always had a hard time understanding just what Jesus was getting at with these stories. They'd be like, come on, Jesus, can't you just tell us what you mean? But to those whose hearts were supple, who were desiring a real change in their lives, to those who were beginning to understand that Jesus could really help them find a renewed and a new kind of relationship with God, to those people, these stories were like a big cold glass of water on a sun-scorched day. They were really, really welcome. And so it was with this story that Jesus told as he arranged people out there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he said this. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. So Jesus is asking his audience there to start to imagine that there must have been a guy who had something of real great worth. Maybe it was money, who knows what it was, but something of really great worth to him. So much that he probably didn't trust anybody to hang on to it for him. So he went out to a field and he buried it. He buried it in the ground, kind of like what we might do at home, putting, you know, money or something underneath the mattress. He buries it in a field. Well, somehow or other, this man either died or maybe he just forgot where he left his treasure. And Jesus goes on to say that when another man found it, He hid it again, and then he went in joy. And he went and he sold. Listen, he sold all that he had and bought that field. What could it possibly have been buried in that field? Well, Jesus goes on. He tells the story another way. He says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant of looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything that he had and he bought it. So now Jesus' audience there has to be thinking, what could this possibly be? How could anything be so valuable that you would sell everything else to have it, to hold it, to possess it, to make it your own? What could be that valuable? Because listen, everything, and he says he sold everything, everything is a real lot. I mean, that's a lot. Think about what everything is, even to you. I mean, everything. The clothes in your closet, the food in your refrigerator and the refrigerator, all your TVs, your computers, your video games, your phones, Patrick, your music equipment, Whitney, all your books, everything has to be sold. All that stuff. And that's just the stuff that makes us feel comfortable with life as it is today. How about the things that we're hoping is going to make life comfortable for us later? Like our bank accounts, our savings accounts, our college funds, our IRAs, all of that goes. That's part of everything. And what about the things from the past that bring us comfort and bring us just that sense of assurance of our past? Things like those pictures of all the kids, the videos. How about that box of toys upstairs that nobody cares about but you, because at once upon a time they meant everything to your children. Everything. What could possibly be worth that? Well, if you're like me, you've already decided that there are very few things in this world that could ever be worth everything. But perhaps if it's not a thing, maybe what would be worth everything would be a person. Maybe someone who loves you and who you love. That may be worth everything. Well, I think that's what Jesus is really getting to here when he says that the kingdom of God is like that. Because the kingdom of God really is the very presence of God in our lives. And if we think about it, the very presence of God in our lives is worth everything, because ultimately it makes everything worth more. Think about it. The presence of God, the treasure of God and his love in our lives is the treasure of God's wisdom. The wisdom that he plants in our hearts of what is right and what is wrong, and gives to us also in his word. It's that wisdom of God given to us, that when we heed it, when we hear it, when we hear it in our conscience, when we heed it, it saves us from folly and from sin. And all the things that prevent us from establishing good and wholesome relationships with other people, all of those things that prevent us from really having an honest and a good and a righteous life as best we can. God's wisdom stands against anything that would prevent our flourishing that way. There's a part of a Psalm 106 that I just think is so cool. He's talking actually about how God comes and helps the people of Israel in their time of need. But this is the same, I think, with God's wisdom. It says, he saved them from the hand of the foe. The hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. This is the treasure of God's love that comes to us in his wisdom. That is worth a lot. God's love comes to us in the treasure of his power, the power of the Holy Spirit that comes around us in those moments when we're mourning, when we're the most vulnerable, when we are the most, sad. It's that power of God that comes to us and clarifies things when we're the most confused. It's that power of God, and you know this, that gives us that resilience when we're flattened by life's left hooks, you know, when we're really down. It's this power of the Holy Spirit that lifts us up. The psalmist says, what does he say? The psalmist says that God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, with the mountains quake with their surging. It's that power of the Holy Spirit that holds us up and helps us be straight, stand straight in the face of the greatest misfortune. That is worth a lot. It's this power, this treasure of the love of God that comes to us probably most of all in Christ himself. For it's in Christ, in the story of Christ, in his giving his life for us, that we might be reconciled with God, that this door may be opened, that we may have that wisdom and this power of God in our lives. It's in that Christ that we see how very valuable you are and I am to God. John the Apostle put it this way when he said, it's not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Yes, it's that love of God in Christ that shows us that you and I are his treasure, that you and I are his pearl of great price, worth everything. Now, for this love of God, for this wisdom and this power and this great love of God, will God ask us to give up everything? Will he really ask us for our TVs and our computers and our phones and our food and our clothes, maybe the deed to our house? Only in so much as those things may prevent us from opening up our hands and taking hold of what he has for us. But you know what? The only thing that he really wants is the deed to our hearts. What he really wants us to give up is an idea, a belief, that we are alone and sufficient unto ourselves. He wants us to give up the belief that we don't have a heavenly father. That we don't have a heavenly father who cares for us, whose desire is to nurture us, whose desire it is that we flourish. That we don't have a heavenly father who, by the way, is more powerful and more wise and more loving than any natural father any of us could ever really have, because after all, any natural father we have is going to be human and flawed and given to mistakes. Like paying his kid 50 cents a week for all that work. Actually, the longer I live and the older I get, maybe you've experienced this, the more I understand that guy and value him. But again, that's part of the thing. What we value changes over time. But Jesus wants us to always remember that there is really but one thing that is of unchanging and paramount and eternal value. And that's this kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, his presence in our lives, and his deep love. That is worth everything. Well, Jesus said that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, was like that treasure in the field, that it was like that pearl of great price. He showed two kinds of illustrations for what that kingdom was like, but he also shows us two kinds of finders. One is the stumbler, the one who just seems to be ambling across that field, and somehow, some way, he kind of just, his eyes light on that clue that gives him an idea that he is standing on a treasure of great value. Now, God is like that. God is always throwing out clues, always throwing out evidence of his presence and his power and his love in our lives. And he's just hoping that we're going to see it and we're going to pick it up and then we're going to do as the man in the story did with great joy, go and do whatever it takes to hold on to that. But alongside the stumbler, there's the seeker. He's the one in the story who knew what he was looking for. He was just going to keep looking until he found the best one, the right one, the one that was worth everything. Now, if you're here today, you're probably more of a seeker than you are a stumbler. But either way, God loves you with a passion. God wants you. You are his treasure, worth everything. Well, next week, we're going to have one more story, one more tale from this kingdom trail. As we look at what it means to have the eyes and the ears of faith that can really sharpen our vision and help our hearing as we navigate through life. But this week, I hope that we all can grab a little more understanding of how very much God loves us, how indeed we are his treasure, and how understanding the depth of that love and then seeing ourselves that way, the kingdom way, the way God sees you, why that is worth everything, because it makes everything worth more. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word, and we praise you for the witness of those who've come before us and for Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. We ask, oh God, that in light of all of that, you will help us to understand, Lord, just how much you do love us. And then to let that awareness change the way we see ourselves and one another as we march forward into your kingdom. And we ask this in your name. Amen.